Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 11, 2021. You have not even dreamed of such a civilization. Question from Facebook: is it realistic to unite everyone into one society? If so, how should it be done? The fastest and safest way is when two enemies unite when confronted with a third enemy, and the third enemy is another civilization. But I may be wrong. Answer: it is good that you understand that you may be wrong. Where is the third civilization that can unite all the enemies? Do you think that if some giant spaceship or a flying saucer that covered half the planet and totally darkened it, hovered above us, we would begin to love one another? No, this does not mean to love. We cannot be forced to love. The only way is to begin to educate ourselves, through our consciousness, and not under pressure, to develop a yearning for each other, like mutuality, love, and bestowal. Love is when I feel what you want, and you feel what I want, and we fill each other. But no one can fill himself. So, a third civilization will not help. Our civilization is quite enough. We are the only ones in the universe, and we do not need to look for anyone or anything. All we have to do is to correct ourselves, to fulfill, and to attain the most sublime state of eternity and perfection, which means a civilization that no one has even dreamed of. Let's do it. From Cab TV's Answers to Questions from Facebook, March 10, 2019. The future will no longer worry us. Question: at the moment I feel that my future is not very bright. How should I work on this? Answer: if you devote yourself to the Creator, you will feel that you are in a wonderful state because you have whom to cling to and the future will no longer worry you. We say, close your eyes, which in fact means to be connected to the upper source of your fate. Question: if I think about the Creator at the moment as the source of the spiritual state, does it already change my future? Answer: yes, you already advance toward the source, you are already locked on it, and now you need to expand this connection that started from a very small contact and attain absolute communication between the two sides. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 28, 2019. My new article on LinkedIn, as clay in the hands of the coach. Perhaps one of the most symbolic images from the Tokyo Olympic Games that ended last week was that of Israeli gold medalist Linoy Ashram, who, after receiving the medal, went to her coach and hung the medal on her coach's neck. With this symbolic act, Ashram stated that she felt her coach, Alit Zussman, deserved the medal just as much as she did. Indeed, to an athlete, a coach is everything, as a mother and a father to a child. Without the coach, an athlete is an unpolished diamond. The coach turns the talent into medals through the athlete's hard work. The bond between the two is truly unique, it can't be otherwise. An ancient truism in the Talmud reads as follows: one might be jealous of anything except one's son and one's disciple. Sanhedrin 105b. Indeed, a true teacher puts everything he or she has into the student, and whatever the student achieves, it is as though the teacher has achieved it, too. I, too, had my teacher, my coach, if you will. He taught me everything I know, and to this day, I feel him accompanying me. If I ever achieve greatness, it will certainly be thanks to him. Likewise, I hope and pray that my own disciples will achieve what I have achieved and more, and that they will become humanity's teachers and lead humanity to unity and love of others. To a teacher, the disciple is his hands, his mind. You put into the disciple everything you wanted to achieve so the disciple will carry it forward. It is a bond that is beyond love, and in the case of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is a commitment that both teacher and disciple make for the sake of all of humanity. Michael Leitman, on Quora, How can the increase in access to the internet among low-income communities help to promote social and economic development? With the help of the internet, every person in the world can access unlimited sources of information almost at no cost. This means is equal for everyone all around the world. Even though the human ego is behind its development, nevertheless it is bound to awaken in us an understanding of humanity as an interconnected single body. Through increasing awareness about our true state as an interconnected humanity, I hope that we will experience positive global transformation as quickly as possible, even in our days. In the end, information, communications and technology might not achieve socio-economic development of the poorer layers of the world's population, but we will understand that we must change our attitude to the world and to our connections, from egoistic to altruistic. As such, we will become equal. We cannot remain in the illusion that if we will now divide everything equally, then the world will change. Such a division will not lead to beneficial changes in the world. We have already seen how this happens. By doing so, we only interfere with people working and developing. On the contrary, we need to bring a new realization to people, according to which everyone should be treated as a single family, altruistically. We will then make the world equal, happy and perfect. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The Fall of Adam, Shattering of the Common Desire. Comment, the shattering of the vessels, desires, is, in principle, a Kabbalistic term. However, many who have read the Pentateuch, the Bible, understand its allegorical language. My response, actually, this is not difficult to understand at all. If my desire is directed for the sake of others, for the benefit of others, then it is considered complete, perfect. If it is for my own sake and as a rule against others, it is called shattered. Question. Does the fall of Adam represent the shattering of the vessels? Answer, it is said about this that all the desires that were in the prototype of man Adam were practically a desire that has not yet been clothed in our protein bodies and was directed only for bestowal. Yet, as a result of certain actions made on it, it turned into a desire to receive. This is the shattering of Adam. Adam is a system that was one single desire, and when it suddenly began to feel itself consisting of many elements, it shattered. That is, every desire included in the general desire wanted to receive for its own sake. This is the fall, the shattering of Adam. Question, can we say that the term the fall of Adam is in the language of feelings and the shattering of the vessels is a Kabbalistic, technical language? Answer, of course. It is the same thing, just explained in different languages. Comment, Kabbalists have identified all Kabbalistic terms from nature itself just in order for a person not to have corporeal associations. After all, when I imagine the fall of Adam, a tree, an apple, and so on, it takes me away from the true picture, everything is inside my desire. My response, today, of course, no one believes and cannot believe in these stories. This is all completely unreal. In fact, with these stories Kabbalists explain the most internal, most complex laws and connections in nature. From Kab TV's Spiritual States July 23, 2021. The Purpose of the Creation of Man. Question. What is the essence of receiving not for yourself? Answer, receiving not for my own sake means that I use all my possibilities to fulfill others. When all the people act in this way, then they fill each other and it turns out that they are completely interconnected with each other and form one single, natural common desire, in which the higher power is revealed. Each person and everyone together comprehends this power and are at its level of eternity and perfection. We are gradually moving toward this. A higher power controls us. We must come from our state to complete interconnection with each other and receive only for the sake of others and for the sake of the Creator. This is the purpose of our creation and the purpose of our correction. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, July 23, 2021. Whom to ask for? Question: what should I do if I feel a dissent? Do I need to ask for myself, for the Creator to raise me up, or ask for my friends so that they do not fall? Answer: if you ask for yourself, it is not good. You must ask for the group, because by falling out of the 10, you deprive it of your support, your participation. Therefore, you should turn to the Creator: I ask you to raise me up, help me, guide me, support me, because by this I want to support others. After all, the most important thing in our work is to find the connection between us. We exist in an integral world where everything is completely interconnected with all of nature, except for human society. We need to unite it. If you ask for strength and support for yourself to be connected with others, then you will succeed in raising a prayer. Otherwise, no. From CAB TV's video conference. No need to wait for more suffering. In the news, The Washington Post, the head of the World Health Organization warned Monday that the world is on the brink of a catastrophic moral failure if wealthier nations don't ensure the equitable distribution of vaccines to combat the coronavirus pandemic. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who has repeatedly warned richer countries against excluding poorer ones by cutting bilateral deals with vaccine suppliers, took his rhetoric up a notch in his opening remarks at an executive board session. My response: but it does show the truth. Question: why was it impossible to make a gesture of goodwill? Give poor countries, say, half of the vaccines. Lose profits, but give it to them. Why couldn't this be done? Answer: egoism will not allow it. How can I do this? This comes in hindsight, because others begin to accuse me, now I have to justify why I did something this or that way. Question: even the WHO could not have foreseen this? Or did they not understand what humanity is like? Answer: they don't want to understand. They dance to the tune of money. And when they write later, they also write on the account of the WHO: why didn't the WHO shout about it? Why didn't it object? There is nothing to expect from rich countries, from their governments, from their ministries of health. They think only of themselves. And rightfully so. Who will think about them? They think about themselves. They have resources, opportunities, connections, everything. And poor countries do not. It is the WHO that should think, they are the World Health Organization. I believe that it should be equal for everyone. But this is natural, this is our world. Why are we now beginning to resent? Is this only happening now and has never happened before? They know and understand everything very well. They have the numbers, they have everything. And they don't set any conditions. Let's say, 25% of the drugs you buy would go to poor countries. An additional tax. But who will consider this? No one will go for it. Who is this WHO? Question: you keep saying that humanity and man, one way or another, sooner or later must come to realization of evil, that they are complete egoists. Is this a step toward the realization of evil? Answer: no, it is not, because no one cares about it. No one is sorry. Nobody. Question: so, what are you counting on when you talk about unification, about connection, about love, all that we should come to? What are you counting on if we are all like this? Answer: I don't see that a person has given up anything for another. On the contrary, the more we develop, the tougher and more callous we become. I will not give up. Question: when will the turning point happen? When something in me pops, clicks. Answer: not a turning point. It will be so that I will be ready to share something with others as some kind of additional tax. Like what I said about 25%, for example. I believe that there should be an international government that will deal with such things. There will be a lot of world problems now, climatic and all other kinds. That is, all the problems we had before that were across states, across zones, and so on, will all be global. We will clearly see. If there is a fire in Australia, a clear consequence will be flooding in China and Siberia, and so on. Question: where does this lead us? Answer: it makes us feel dependent on each other. That is how we will feel. Only through suffering. There is nothing humanity can do. Question: when will we come to the state of the world being as one family? Will we be brought to it by suffering? Will we get to such a state after all? Answer: I think yes, because there is no other way. We must complete the correction of the world. Now we are entering a state where we begin to gradually realize, but very, very gradually and from afar, that we are a common system. But so far, no one wants to take this into account. Here we need some very special manifestations from nature so that we all realize that we are connected, that we are in one boat and not in continents, and countries, and governments, and nations. This is where we need to take it seriously. Question: so, will nature offer some kind of follow-up exercise to humanity? And then another one until we realize it? Do you think this is how it will go? Answer: yes. This will gradually teach us. As a result, we will understand, we will feel. The main thing is that we feel and not just say that we are one family, such beautiful slogans. And we will feel that we are really one common whole and that we cannot think of one part of humanity without another. Because we will see all of humanity as one organism. You cannot chop off your hand here and laugh and make carnivals over there. This should be the feeling we all have. And it can be instantaneous. When you feel a prick, you instantly understand, enough. I agree. Everything will be fine. Question: when? Answer: quickly, I hope. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 21, 2021. Marriage contract or evolution of egoism? Question: what is your attitude to the fact that now the family is based on the principles of the marriage contract? Moreover, everyone tries to win at the expense of the other and run away from responsibility. If something happens to a partner, if he gets sick, etc. Answer: so you come to me with a broken leg and ask, how can I jump from the second floor? And you cannot even walk. That is, you have come to me with a problem and are trying to solve another one with its help. The initial problem is education. Today we cannot demand from a couple who is going to unite some unrealizable, completely unrealistic conditions when they are absolutely not prepared for it. Nobody taught them this, nobody educated them, nobody raised them to the acquired level. They grew up on television shows, beer, cigarettes, and discos. Now they suddenly decide, let's move in, we will live together. Okay, let's get married. And that's all. They act in accordance with the way they were raised. How can you demand something from them? Or what can they demand from each other? Of course, nothing. They do not ask each other the simplest life questions. Where are we going to get money for living? How are you going to provide for the family? What kind of upbringing are you going to give our children? Nobody talks about it. Therefore, the problem here is not in marriage, not in the marriage contract or agreement, but in educating such people from infancy who will then come in the right way to creating a family. Yet, when they are going to sign an agreement between them or just decide to move in together, it's too late to talk about it. If a person was brought up to think only of himself, nothing is going to help him, and you will not force him to do anything. All the same, he will avoid alimony and you will not even want to deal with him. There is absolutely no such concept as duty in the new generation. my place in the world, in nature, me as a father, as a husband, as a man, as a citizen, as a soldier. There is no such thing. No. And this is natural. Our egoism was developing all the time and we did not give it the appropriate framework, a program for its correct behavior. Comment: we were constantly trying to restrain it. My response: this is all we did, we were constantly putting pressure on egoism and it broke free. In the end, it broke free. You can't do anything to me. This is what any small child declares to his parents. Indeed, try to slap him, he will go to the police. Children already know that you can go to the police. That's it. This is where it all starts, with absolute freedom. If you try to stop serving him, he will also go to the police, you owe him. On the one hand, you have no right to put pressure on him with your education, on the other hand, you are obliged to completely serve him. Modern children know this very well. They are ready to use this without any sentimentality. You cannot command them, and you are not an authority for them. This is egoism. I do not blame them at all. This is how our egoism grows within us. If I were in their place, I would be the same. If we considered the evolution of egoism in us correctly, then in accordance with this we would give children the correct program of behavior so that they would be happy in the end. If we really took care of them sensibly, correctly, then all this would not have happened. However, today, when you already have a broken leg and tell me, I want to jump, you have to wait until it mends. You need to do something with it, treat it. From CAB TV's Close Up, August 19, 2009. Does the body have anything to do with the soul? Question: does the pace of the development of the soul and its ascent to the spiritual world depend on my previous lives? Answer: everything depends on everything. If a certain individual, a certain soul, in this world advances or goes back a little, it is reflected in everyone, and it is the same when a soul ascends. We all totally depend on each other, and our previous states and future states are an integral picture that we need to understand and to fulfill. Question: the connection between spiritual and corporeal lives is a very complicated matter. If we take only spirituality, the states replace each other, of course, and it is possible to live many lives in one day. In our corporeal lives, we see that people are born and die. This is seemingly a different system. So, are they related in any way? Answer: the life and death of the body are simply states on the corporeal level. Now I feel a close connection to my corporeal body and it is very dear to me because it seems to me that I feel life through it. But in fact, it is an absolute illusion. There is nothing in this body for me. I feel pain and pleasure through it, but only on the corporeal level. It has nothing to do with the soul. We will all live in this body for a while and will part from it when the time comes. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 16, 2019.